The pack horse was ahead of him, swinging too far to the right, and slowing down, and Robert Jordan, galloping, his head turned a little toward the bridge, saw the line of trucks halted behind the turn that showed now clearly as he was gaining height, and he saw the bright yellow flash that signaled the instant whish and boom, and the shell fell short, but he heard the metal sailing from where the dirt rose. He saw them all ahead in the edge of the timber, watching him, and he said,
"Arre caballo, go on, horse!"
and felt his big horse's chest surging with the steepening of the slope, and saw the gray neck stretching and the gray ears ahead, and he reached and patted the wet gray neck, and he looked back at the bridge and saw the bright flash from the heavy, squat, mud-colored tank there on the road, and that he did not hear any whish, but only a banging, acrid, smelling clang like a boiler being ripped apart, and he was under the gray horse, and the gray horse was kicking, and he was trying to pull out from under the weight. He could move all right. He could move toward the right, but his left leg stayed perfectly flat under the horse as he moved to the right. It was as though there was a new joint in it, not the hip joint, but another one that went sideways like a hinge. Then he knew what it was all right, and just then the gray horse kneed himself up, and Robert Jordan's right leg, that had kicked the stirrup loose just as it should, slipped clear over the saddle and came down beside him, and he felt with his two hands of his thigh bone where the left leg lay flat against the ground, and his hands both felt the sharp bone and where it pressed against the skin. The gray horse was standing almost over him, and he could see his ribs heaving. The grass was green where he sat, and there were meadow flowers in it, and he looked down the slope across to the road and the bridge and the gorge and the road and saw the tank and waited for the next flash. It came almost at once with again no whish, and in the burst of it, with the smell of the high explosive, the dirt clods scattering and the steel whirring off, he saw the big gray horse sit quietly down beside him, as though it were a horse in a circus. And then looking at the horse sitting there, he heard the sound the horse was making. Then Primitivo and Augustine had him under the armpits and were dragging him up the last slope, and the new joint in his leg let it swing any way the ground swung it. Once a shell whished close over them, and they dropped him and fell flat, but the dirt scattered over them, and the metal sung off, and they picked him up again. And then they had him up to the shelter of the long draw in the timber where the horses were, and Maria, Pilar, and Pablo were standing over him. Maria was kneeling by him and saying,
"Roberto, what hast thou?"
He said, sweating heavily,
"The left leg is broken, guapa." "We will bind it up," Pilar said. "Thou canst ride that."
She pointed to one of the horses that was packed.
"Cut off the load."
Robert Jordan saw Pablo shake his head, and he nodded at him.
"Get along," he said. Then he said, "Listen, Pablo, come here."
The sweat-streaked, bristly face bent down by him, and Robert Jordan smelt the full smell of Pablo.
"Let us speak," he said to Pilar and Maria. "I have to speak to Pablo."
"Does it hurt much?" Pablo asked. He was bending close over Robert Jordan.
"No, I think the nerve is crushed. Listen, get along. I am mucked, see? I will talk to the girl for a moment. When I say to take her, take her. She will want to stay. I will only speak to her for a moment."
"Clearly there is not much time," Pablo said.
"Clearly." "I think you would do better in the Republic," Robert Jordan said.
"Nay, I am for Gredos."
"Use thy head."
"Talk to her now," Pablo said. "There is little time." "I am sorry thou hast this, Inglés."
"Since I have it," Robert Jordan said. "Let us not speak of it, but use thy head. Thou hast much head. Use it."
"Why would I not?" said Pablo. "Talk now fast, Inglés. There is no time."